So one of the bummers about sharing space is someone comes along and they take your sermon off of the pulpit.
Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen.
Thank you. I was all ready for it. It's all good. It's just always, it's a little disconcerting when you walk up and go, I know I left it there, and now it's gone. It's good. People are thirsty. Over the last few weeks, all of you, unless you have been hiding under a rock, have been affected by or learning about the COVID-19, which is a virus which is spreading all around the world, and different communities are taking different tactics to try and help mitigate the danger. But what it's left is some real thirst. In some cases, people are thirsting because for the first time they're having to be alone. I spoke to someone this morning who said, I spent all day yesterday by myself. I'm not going to do that again. Apparently he didn't like the company. Other people are finding they're a little late. They got to the stores after the hoarders and, can't get what they need. We actually made the mistake. Well, I don't know. It was a desperate attempt. It was funny. We didn't need any of the stuff that people are hoarding, but we thought, oh, we'll go to Costco and pick up a few things on Saturday. And so we finally kind of got through the parking lot, and we walked up to the store, and there were no carts anywhere. And I just sort of peered in the store, and I said, we are not doing this. Another person who had gone shopping reported back to me how interesting it was what people had in their carts. One woman had an entire cart full of cookies. When in doubt, eat dessert. It wasn't you. And then a few carts back, someone had an entire shopping cart full of
wine.
Yes. And his name was Bill. I kind of got the second one. I didn't really get the first one. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, of course, people are starving. They're thirsty. We're going to find over time with social distancing that people who are already feeling lonely are going to feel particularly lonely. It's part of what we as the church need to respond to over time, to be that presence for folks in any way that we can. We have our own thirsts and hopes. In this text for this morning, Jesus goes to the well at Sychar, and he goes there and he says, you know, I'm thirsty. And there's a woman there who happens to be a Samaritan. And if you know kind of what's going on, at least in the biblical literature, the Jewish folks and the Samaritans don't get along all that well. There was this little war. It's no big deal, except that it was. And so for Jesus to sort of glance up at this woman who was at the well and say, get me a drink, surprises her. And she says, how can you, a man, a rabbi of Israel, ask me, a woman of Samaria, for this thing? You have no bucket, and the well belongs to us. And Jesus says, get me water. He's thirsty. But as you know, in that encounter, it turns out there's more than water at stake. It turns out it is not Jesus who is thirsty, but the woman. So when she asks him, when he tells her about the living water, and then she says to him, hey, how can I get some of this living water? I envision Jesus thinking to himself, gotcha. And then he begins to minister to her. And he tells her what it is to have living water. Water that feeds not just the body, but the whole
self and the whole world forever. He says to her, look, water that you get from this well, when you drink from it, you will be thirsty again, but I will give you living water. Jesus on that day breaks through a number of boundaries. And it turns out if you really read about Jesus, he spends a lot of times breaking through boundaries. Boundaries around the Sabbath when they come out of the field and say to the Pharisees who are standing there, look, is the Sabbath made for man or is man made for the Sabbath? Breaks a boundary. When Jesus sits at the table with the poor and the outcast, he breaks boundaries. And he does so again today in a couple of different ways. First of all, that a good Jewish rabbi would sit and talk to a woman unaccompanied is pretty shocking. As a matter of fact, I love the little scene where it says, and the disciples came up and saw him talking to her, and they thought to themselves, oh dear. But none of them said anything, right? They're like, Matthias, go tell him he's not supposed to do that. And he says, no way, man. Jesus breaks this boundary. He speaks to this woman as a human being and breaks that boundary. And even worse, she's a Samaritan. And so Jesus breaks that boundary as well and speaks to her as if she were one of him. Well, Jesus is all about breaking boundaries, but if you know anything about boundary breaking, it takes a couple of things. When boundaries are broken, the world changes. Jesus has the courage that it takes to break those boundaries. So a couple of boundaries have been broken that are quite amazing in the last decade or so, and even further before that. You know, one of the big boundaries to be broken right now is women's education. So a young girl named Malala was saying, look, little girls in Pakistan should be educated. So in her work, of course, she was coming home. You should know the story if you don't. She's coming home on a bus from taking a test, and she and two other girls were shot for promoting girls' education. To the surprise of everyone, Malala lived. Just for breaking that boundary, which seems so simple that every girl should have access to education. And there's this cultural norms that we are always wrestling with and we need to respect, certainly. But she has gone on to be a global force for girls' education. It took courage. She literally has been placing her life on the line every single time she gets up to speak. It takes courage. It also takes knowing that you've got someone watching your back, a community that gathers around you so that you can work toward breaking those barriers and know that someone will stand with you, as the world has done with Malala. Now that was an obvious, clear boundary breaking that has resulted now in multiple movements around the world saying, you know what? As obvious as it might have seemed, it turns out that girls should be educated. This is not hard to figure out. But it's elevating women from abject poverty, independence, into life. It's slaking a thirst in a way that will continue to feed the world forever. Sometimes those boundary breakings are not as easy to see. Back in the 60s, we were trying to get to the moon. Remember that? So let's see. You can remember. Some of you are like, wow, really? No, I'm just kidding. We were trying to break this boundary, get us out of space and around the moon. It was not until the last few years that anyone bothered to tell anyone that Katherine Johnson and her colleagues, women, were the ones who provided the calculations and the math to make that possible. African-American women locked in a room far, far away doing math. Now, probably like most of you, I mean, I knew someone had to do the calculations. Math is not my best thing. But I kind of pictured some kind of geeky, short, bald guy with round glasses sitting there with one of those visors over his head figuring it all out. Because of our culture, it never occurred to me that there were black women sitting in a room in the back figuring this whole thing out. And then we hit it. They broke boundaries and we never heard. Katherine Johnson died recently. You can learn more about these people in the movie Hidden Figures. And yet, you know, it's amazing that boundary got broken. And it turns out it needed to be and continues to need to be. You see, when we break boundaries as a people, as a church, as individuals, when we support one another and give one another courage, when we know that God always has our back, that God is with us, feeding us that living water, then boundaries can be broken and undone. I am ashamed to say that women have been ordained in the ELCA only for 50 years. Now, to be perfectly fair, there's a lot of churches where y'all can't be priests. Count your blessings. It's only 40 years ago that we ordained our first woman of color. And only 10 years ago that we made the decision to ordain gay, lesbian, and transgendered individuals who are in lifelong committed relationships. When Jesus encountered that woman, there were boundaries to be broken. And who is it that went back into the village to tell the people about Jesus? Was it the disciples? Peter? James? John? Bart? None of them, right? They were all shopping. It's the woman, the Samaritan woman, who goes back to the village, shares the word about living water. Boundaries both broken, and everything changed. So God, well, I mean, it wasn't that bad. And so as we look into the future for what God will do with us, the thirsts that we will bring to the table, that we will address with God's living water, we remember that God has first poured out on us God's grace and given us each other that boundaries might be broken, traditions changed, so that God's work and God's will can be done in all the world. For God gives you living water that flows forever.